This morning, I want to draw your attention to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 12. For the purpose of preaching, I just want to lift up two verses. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This morning I want to share with the family from the thought, Paul's path to love. Paul's path to love. Christianity has certain concrete expectations. One of them is to love. Love is at the center of our Christian faith. You might ask, what's love got to do with it? And I would suggest with emphasis this morning, everything. For see, God so loved us that he sacrificed Jesus Christ for us. Jesus said that the greatest expression of love is to lay down your life for another. A love he unselfishly demonstrated all the way to the cross of Calvary. Thankfully, love does not always have to be a death sentence, or let us be honest, most of us would not even consider participating. But true love does have requirements. Jesus spent much of his time teaching his disciples how to love. Prior to his arrival, love was viewed as a selective emotion to be expressed at will. But in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus set the record straight about love. He said, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." That was a far cry from their practices. And my, how things have not changed. Today, we still do not think of love as something we express without reward. When we love, we expect to be loved in return. We think, if it is not reciprocal, what is the point? Yet, as we will see in this morning's message, there is a point. As Paul outlined in his 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which Sister Bonnie read into our hearing, love has many attributes. Love is patient and kind. Love is never jealous or envious. Love is never boastful or proud. Love is never haughty, selfish, or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. Love does not hold grudges or retaliate. Love never celebrates injustice. Love is loyal. Love believes the best in everyone. Love is forever. Now, I know that's a lot to swallow. The first thing I notice is that Paul approaches his lesson on love by concentrating on what love is not. In my mind, I can see him focusing his spiritual eye on the social norm. Paul must have considered his immediate audience and beyond and used them as an example of what not to do. And if he had been using us as an example, perhaps I have no doubt that his lesson would have not been any different, because, as I said, not much has changed. However, today's focus takes us on a narrower look of how love should be expressed. We are just going to look at how love is expressed in the household of faith or the body of Christ. So let's put on our spiritual seatbelts and take an expository ride together to evaluate how we are to interact with each other. First thing I need us to all understand is we must love each other fervently. There's truly little we get fervent or enthusiastic about. And generally, if we do get excited, it is about something that benefits us, not others. So the command to be passionate or zealous about our love toward each other is a concept that is foreign to the carnal flesh. Peter knew how hard it was in the flesh, but he also knew how easy it should be in the spirit. That's why Peter said, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." In other words, if you say you love each other, show it. Let me say that again. If you say you love each other, you need to show it. Show some enthusiasm for love. Genuine, heartfelt, authentic, unfeigned love is love that has no carnal constraints because it's genuine and heartfelt. Love is only beneficial to the recipient if it is honest or real. Phony love has no place in the body of Christ. It can put an instant blotch on the beautiful. It can turn a congregation from glorious to something that is gloomy. Unfeigned love that comes from a fervent heart is different, because it can turn a spiritual desert into a rose garden. It can turn a small country church into a royal cathedral. It can turn a simple chicken dinner into a king's banquet. It can fill a grief-stricken heart with comfort and joy. And because fervent love is impassioned, because fervent love is intense and compelling, it does not have to be coerced or forced. It should be the most free-flowing attribute of the Christian church. That is one way that you and I ought to love. That is one path to love, and that's to be fervent. Second, we must love each other with a pure heart. Paul and Peter were on the same page with this one. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:5, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." It is almost the same thing as Peter said, but with emphasis not on fervency so much as purity. Paul emphasizes the need for love to be pure, to be virtuous, to be uncontaminated. Love needs to come from a pure heart because love is a virtue. Love is a big part of the righteousness of God. True love can only come from a pure heart. It should not be polluted or tainted with unclean thoughts or mixed emotions. Love that comes from a pure heart cannot be confined by walls or affected by time or misguided by feelings or governed by emotions or discouraged by trouble. This kind of love can stop wars and cancel quarrels. This kind of love can tame tempers and solve problems. This kind of love can settle differences and relieve heartaches. This kind of love can withstand a storm, forgive an enemy, face a failure, suffer a loss, and bear a cross. Because this kind of love flows from a pure heart that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And who is our example of pure love? Christ, who always also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you and I should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Repeat after me, I want to be like Jesus. And finally, this is the most important part of the message because it directly focuses on Mount Olivet Baptist Church. We are called to love one another. We love everyone, but we are called to love the brothers and sisters first at this house, Mount Olivet Baptist Church. The greatness of our ministry requires that you and I be a unified, loving body. Listen to what Peter said. He said, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." My brothers and sisters, it is a tall charge, but one worth the struggle. For the answer to our prayers for this community hinges on our love for one another. Peter said it, not me. He said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Do you hear what he's saying? God listens to the prayers of the righteous, those who are of one mind and have compassion and love for their brother and sister. Our success of this ministry to this county and beyond rests with our capacity to love one another at Mount Olivet Baptist Church. And the reason why is because love inspires courage among our members. Love establishes trust among our members. Love enables submission to each other. Love provides help to each other. Love supplies mercy and grace and so much more. Carnal love may race through your mind, throb in your heart, glow on your face, tingle under your skin, dance in your eyes, and turn cartwheels in your stomach. But filial love, the love of the brothers and sisters, that brotherly love will cause your soul to leap for joy at Mount Olivet Baptist Church. Our love doesn't see your thorns, it sees a rose. Our love doesn't see your difficulties, it sees possibilities. Our love doesn't feed your sadness, it inspires your joy. Our love doesn't see obstacles, it builds bridges. And I raised the question, can we love each other like that? Can we help one another, rescue one another, and comfort one another with this love that passes all understanding? And the answer is, of course we can. Because since I've been in Mount Olivet Baptist Church, I have seen that. I can remember vividly having a conversation with someone at one of our car shows. And it was one of the gentlemen from our community. And he said the moment he came onto our parking lot, he felt the love. My brothers and sisters, when we share this kind of love, our burdens become lighter. Our differences become smaller. Our conflicts become fewer. Our tempers become milder. And our duties become delightful. Our friendships become stronger. Our words become sweeter. Our failures become victories. Our doubts are defeated, and our joy will be full. We must follow the path. We must love fervently. We must love with a pure heart. And that love must start with us at Mount Olivet Baptist Church. Jesus said it this way, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." The message of God for the people of God. Maybe there's someone on this call this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. I want to extend that invitation to you through the power of prayer. And I ask that you would just simply repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brother or my sister, if you have prayed this prayer by faith, you are saved. If you desire to learn more about salvation or your relationship with God, feel free to contact myself or any of our deacons or any of our members.